Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show. Halfway home on this Tuesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. We're opening the phone lines up to you here. Do the Hawks need to shoot more threes? So we've heard now from a couple of multiple players about, you know, Trae Young talked about it. John Collins has talked about it, that one of the things that Quinn Snyder has professed about this team is they should shoot more threes. Now, I don't know what the analytical data, and this girl that was hired to be an analytics expert can probably speak to all of this, but certainly the idea is, I understand that, look, if you're going to take a 20-foot shot, why not take a, what's the three-point line in the NBA? 24 feet or something like that, or...
Yeah, is it 24 or 27?
Something like that. 24, yeah. 27. But whatever. I mean, there's no need to take a 20-foot shot. You might as well take a 24 or 27-footer and shoot a three, right? I understand that. But when you look at what this team was, they were 22nd in the NBA in three-point field goal percentage. You know, DeJounte Murray's not a great three-point shooter. He's an excellent mid-range jumper shooter. Trae Young has never shot a high percentage, and he had a disastrous year from three, the lowest since his rookie year in the NBA. John Collins was a disaster from three. DeAndre Hunter is no three-point shooter. I'll let Trae to a certain degree shoot, but why would I want to see the Hawks shoot more threes? And we brought up the name of Kristaps Porzingis. So, again, you put a guy like that on this roster and a guy who shot like six threes a game, like, why do I want to see that? Now, to be fair, they were 10th in the NBA in three-point defense this year. 10th. That's a pretty good number, right? That's a pretty good mark that they had. So they weren't dreadful when it came to defending the threes. A couple of years ago, they were a bad three-point defensive team, but they were actually pretty decent. Now, again, I think DeJounte Murray, DeAndre Hunter, I think that those are guys that can help defend the three-point shot. But from an offensive perspective, why would I want to shoot? When Trae Young and DeJounte Murray are going to the basket, that's where they're at their best. That's where I think that they're at their best, is when those guys are going to the basket and creating. And they get other people involved, whether it's a lob play, whether it's a dish. It may be to kick out to Bogey for a three or somebody like that. But why would I want to see more three-pointers of clanking shots? Because just because you shoot more threes doesn't mean you're going to shoot them better. So, again, we've now heard multiple players that have come out and said this about one of the things that Quinn Snyder has preached about is shooting more threes. I'm sure that there is an analytical reason for it. I'm sure that's what it comes down to, right? Even if you hit 40% of your threes, that's still better than hitting 60% of your twos if you take the volume of shot. I'm sure there is some analytical number that says that, hey, it makes more sense to attempt three-pointers than it does two-pointers. But in the real world of basketball, when Trey and DeJounte and guys like, when they're going to the basket, right? Trey hits the floater. He's creating. He's drawing contact. Like, that's when we're at our best. That's when things get better. And I don't understand the idea of why this team would want to shoot more threes. Now, maybe you get some guys in here that can be good three-point shooters, right? I mean, Bogey's a pretty decent three-point shooter. AJ Griffin's a pretty decent three-point shooter. Remember, he was arguably the best three-point shooter coming out of college. I mean, yeah, I think he led the nation in three-point percentage in college. But again, the college line and the NBA line, different. But I'm sure that there is some reason for all of that. But do I want to see, I mean, if John Collins never shot another three in his career, that would still be too soon. Let him shoot threes when he's retired. Let him shoot threes for another team. I don't want him shooting three-point shots for the Atlanta Hawks. And I think when you look, I think it was overall for John Collins, because the team as a whole finished at 22nd in the NBA. Collins was a 29% three-point shooter. He averaged 6.6 two-point field goal attempts per game, and he averaged 3.4 three-point shots per game. So he wasn't quite 2-1, two-pointers to three-pointers, but even at 3.5 shots per game, and Trey was a little over 6, Murray was a little over 5, DeAndre Hunter was just over 3, and Bogey was almost 7. Why would I want those guys? I mean, Bogey, almost 41%. Sadiq Bey, 40%. Okay, I can live with that. Even A.J. Griffin, 39%. But Murray was 34.4. Trey Young was 33.5. Hunter was only 35%. Collins was 29.2%. Onyeka Okongwu had a better three-point percentage than John Collins. Now, obviously, drastically different as far as, you know, how many threes were attempted, but still, John Collins didn't even outshoot Onyeka Okongwu from three. He barely beat Jalen Johnson, too, because Jalen Johnson was only 28.8% three-point shooter. So, no, I don't think the answer to the question is, can we shoot more threes? I don't think that's the answer at all. And I don't want to see more of that from the Hawks. I want to see more cutting and getting to the basket. I want to see them get Collins and Capella more involved in the alley-oops, right? You know, a couple years ago, Trae Young and Clint Capella combined for the most field goals in the NBA as teammates. They had the most field goals in the NBA as teammates. That's what I want to get back to. That's what I want to see more of. I want to see DeJounte Murray slash into the basket and then using that mid-range jumper that he's got. I want to see more of that from these guys. Not everybody stand around behind the arc and start hucking it up. And again, you have guys whose job will be to shoot the three. Sadiq Bey, Bogey, A.J. Griffin, you know, Trey Young. We can designate some of these guys to do that. But as a team philosophy, I don't want to see that. So, I don't think that that is one of the things that would benefit the Hawks more. You know, I would like to see the Hawks take less threes but hit a higher percentage of them. Because then if you have to respect the three-point shot, then that's when guys can cut and slash to the basket. When you have to force yourself and your defense to play on that outside perimeter up high, it doesn't allow that defense to cheat back and double-team somebody on the inside or, you know, pick up a guy that's cutting and slashing. You have to go out there and defend the three. You have to go out and defend it. And again, that allows for guys to be able to do more things. It will be interesting to see what the offense under Quinn Snyder looks like going into next year. Because he've obviously had this past season, the 21 games. He'll have all offseason, summer camp, training camp, all these different kinds of things. And look, they don't get together a whole lot, right? Because the draft is in what's the draft in? Today's what, the 6th? Draft is in what, 16 like, days?
Yeah, I was about to say, what, 4 weeks?
Oh, no. Not 4 weeks.
Than, yeah, because today is the 6th.
Yeah, you're barely 18th, barely 2 weeks.
What is it, the 22nd?
22nd, yeah. Yeah, it's 16 days from now. Barely 2 weeks. And by the way, we'll have draft coverage. It'll be myself, it'll be Caleb, and we're still waiting to see if Sparty's going to be part of it. Have you reached out to Sparty or anything like that and said, hey, Chuckery's going to host the NBA draft show?
No, you know, that's kind of above me as far as booking talent, as far as broadcast goes. So okay. That's not really my – but I can kind of shoot him a text and just, you know.
Yeah, say, hey, maybe, Sparty, what's up?
Yeah, and then maybe that I get him the hood. A nudge. Yeah. You know, he's got the newborn, though, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He
so
does.
So his schedule is probably a little bit different when it comes to the
evenings. Yeah, but it would be 4 hours of talking basketball.
Yeah, I'm sure he would love it.
How often, I mean, besides a Hawks game, how often do we ever spend 4 hours talking basketball?
That's true.
And especially talking a mix of college and pro, right?
Very true.
Like how often do we get into those kinds of discussions? He'd be a pig in slop, right?
Yeah.
You know, he'd be all thrilled to that. And Sparty's done the show before.
I mean, yeah, he's done it the last 2 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done it the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Last year, although I will miss, we're going to be at State Farm Arena.
Right.
I will miss that. What is that place called?
The Eastern. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now at State Farm, is it going to kind of just be in a certain area?
I think we will broadcast from where they call the games.
Gotcha.
Because that would be the most likely scenario. So okay. Here's what I hope. They have the Hawks. Know how to throw a good spread. Like that food in those loft suites.
In the suites, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, some of the best tenderloin you will eat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I'm hoping for. I don't care how the show goes. I don't care if the show's good quality. I could really care less. Again, we're talking NBA draft for 4 hours. You know? I want to eat good. It's more important. I've turned into Steak Shapiro. It's more important that I eat good
right.
And all that good stuff. By the way, rank them coming up at 10:40, by the way, so don't forget to hit us up with your list. But, yeah, it's more important to eat good, right, than to sound good.
True.
So, yes. So we'll be somewhere there, I think, where the – and I guess they're going to have a watch party and all that stuff. I don't know what you want to call it. A draft party. Yes,
yeah.
An official draft party.
Yeah.
So – yeah, we'll have the draft party there, but we will be live at State Farm Arena for the NBA draft. And again, the Hawks are going to pick 15th in the draft. I think that's immediately going to be a stash and dash player down at College Park. I think that's going to be a guy who immediately ends up in the G League when all is said and done, because you just don't have roster spots. And again, you don't have a spot for a guy to come in and get significant minutes as a rookie, unless he just becomes LeBron James. But, I mean, you don't have a spot necessarily for a guy to develop. And so that's what will make it interesting is, okay, we draft a guy and then, you know, ultimately probably stash him for a year or two and then see what we have out of all of it, right? You know, as players come and go and things like that, you know, ultimately we see. And that's why I think that getting some of this stuff done with, you know, just as far as what this roster is going to look like moving forward may dictate about how we draft. You know, if they have some deals in the works where let's say they're going to get rid of Capella, okay, just for argument's sake, say they get rid of Capella. Well, then we may look at drafting a center in the first round because we're only going to have Onyeka Okongwu, and yes, we can bring a veteran in, but you might want to bring a young guy in as well, another young guy. So who knows? But we'll see on the 22nd when the Hawks draft and they draft 15th. And maybe they'll even trade out of that pick. Maybe they end up trading out of it. All right, coming up, it will be time for That's Life. Some merchandise from a hit TV show sold for big, big bucks. And we'll get to our top 10 as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, John Chuckery Show. 9:22 in the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game at JMCH316. He's at the D. Lewis for real. Don't forget Rankum coming up at 10:30 or 10:40. You familiar with the TV program Cheers from the 1980s?
Yeah, Ted Danson.
Okay.
What was my girl's name? Shelly Long.
Yep. And then it was
Frasier.
Frasier Crane.
Yeah.
Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer. Yeah.
And then it was Christy Brinkley.
Not Christy Brinkley. But she just passed away.
Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
All right. So, James Commissar, 58 years old, has a collection of nearly 1,000 items, he's got a whole bunch of memorabilia from lots of TV shows and kind of Hollywood memorabilia. Well, one of the things that he has got, Day-Day, is he has, he has the actual bar from Cheers.
Oh, wow, nice.
He's got the actual bar from Cheers. It recently sold at auction. What do you think that went for?
Original bar.
Sold over the weekend in a big auction.
200 some odd grand.
Okay. $675,000. $675,000. The Batman, how about this one? The Batman and Robin costumes worn by Adam West and Burt Ward. You familiar with that?
Okay. Very much so.
From the old Batman TV show?
Yep.
$615,000.
Wow.
The Johnny Carson Tonight Show set, the actual set, went for $275,000. One of the signposts from MASH. Did you ever watch MASH? The scene of MASH? Okay.
Yeah,
do you remember how they had those signposts that they would point in all different directions and say, Tokyo, 1,000 miles, L.A., 25,000 miles, or whatever like that, okay? Mm-hmm. $150,000.
Wow.
Alan Hale Jr.'s captain's hat from Gilligan's Island. Remember Skipper from the Gilligan's Island show? His captain's hat, $62,500.
Wow.
How crazy is all of this stuff?
That is.
$675,000 to own the bar from Cheers.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's nuts. All right, do you know what today is historically? I knew it had it on the rundown.
Well,
but,
yeah.
today is D-Day. Now, quick story. My grandfather, Robert White, he's not my biological grandfather, but he's the only grandfather that I knew on my mom's side of the family. My grandfather, Robert White, fought on Omaha Beach on June 6th, 1944, right? He was in the D-Day invasion. He was on Omaha Beach.
Wow.
And lived to tell about it. He never talked about it. I didn't know until later on in my life that he was part of the D-Day invasion. But he never talked about it, never brought it up to anybody. I think he died at 93 years old. And he was a real character. Like, he was a real character, very, very youthful. Even when he was in his 70s.
Right.
He was very youthful. Like, he was always on the go and just doing stuff. But never talked about, never spoke a word about the D-Day invasion.
Wow.
And I would have been, I wish I would have been old enough in later years, because by the time I was like a real adult,
right,
he was in his 80s. And again, he lived up in Ohio and I lived down here in Atlanta.
Right.
But I wish I would have been old enough to talk to him about what happened. Now, he may not have said anything. Again, he may not have talked about anything with it, but it would have been interesting to hear what kind of the stories that were coming out of all of that. But he was on Omaha Beach for the D-Day invasion. So.
Nice.
All right. So I was thinking about this the other day. We talked about I'm looking at a gun. And
right.
I think I've got my pistol picked out.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So with that, tonight's top 10 list, the top 10 things in life you want to own before you die. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right, so first up is something I did own for a brief time, but I had to get rid of it. It broke down on me, and I've always wanted another one, but a 1977 Plymouth Valari with T-tops.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
I had one when I was, like, in my early 20s, like 21, and a girl I used to date, she bought it from an old family that it had been sitting in their yard, and it wasn't dry. So overall, it was a decent car, but just 20, 21 years old, I didn't really have that kind of money to keep
to
it maintained.
Keep it in.
So I ended up having to let it go.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted one because I'd have like old ladies like see me pull up in parking lots and it would take them back to their day and they'd be like, oh my God, look at that car. So a multi-use sports facility, but for youth sports.
Okay.
Indoor particularly. So like, because you know, football's king down here and a lot of times like, football teams, if it rains, they have to cancel practice.
Right.
So
right.
I would love to take like an old department store, like a two-level department store, and just deck it out, turf fields. And if someone out there steals my ideal, I'm coming for you. memorabilia-wise, I would love to have these two things. One, the original, or I guess I'd say one because I'm sure there was multiples. But one of the original helmets from Darth Vader. From the original Star Wars.
Very cool, yes.
And then the cleats that Ricky Henderson wore when he broke the record, stolen base record,
nice.
In 1982.
I bet you those are in the Hall of Fame.
Probably so.
I would guess that they are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'll need to Google it, but if they weren't, I would
just
love
go there
to
and
try
steal
to,
them.
I know, right? Yeah, let's see how that goes for me.
Well, I mean, you may steal them, but you'll get caught. I mean, so.
Right. A nail salon. I mean, women.
Really?
I mean, dude, think about it. Like, women get their nails done religiously.
Obviously.
So, you know, obviously, I'd want to pick an area where it's kind of not over congested with some, but the need is there.
Yeah.
A Starbucks. I've always wanted to own a Starbucks.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time when I lived in my first house. I bought way down in Henry County, kind of McDonough area. There was like only one in the area at the time, and I used to be like, man, I wish I had the capital to open up a Starbucks down here. But now
I wonder how much one of those franchises costs.
I'm pretty sure it's up there.
Yeah, I would bet.
And this last one I have here is the basketball. I want the basketball from the UNC Michigan game where Chris Webber called the timeout, 93, because that it was the 92-93 season. But,
so why that particular?
Because I'm a Carolina fan, and my best friend / roommate at the time was a Michigan fan. He passed away, and so our dorm room was intense that day.
So even more than when Jordan hit the shot to win the national title.
Yeah, even more.
Because
you got to think, I was super young. Basketball was kind of, when Jordan hit the shot, I wasn't paying attention like I was to that year,
right.
To 92-93, so.
You know, it's funny because that is the first finals that I – the first Final Four and championship game that I vividly remember. The Georgetown, Carolina.
Carolina.
You know, Patrick Ewing had several goaltending calls in that game that cost Sleepy Floyd was on that team for Georgetown. Obviously, Michael – James Worthy, James Black, Matt Doherty, Sam Perkins, like those guys were all
that's stacked. That
on
team
that
was
team.
Stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember it. I just, like I said, I was much younger and wasn't really in tune with how much I liked basketball.
And I'll tell you this, I still will contend James Worthy is one of the more underappreciated.
Oh, he was the star of that team.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the more underappreciated college basketball players in history.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a great, not good, who's a great collegiate basketball player.
Yep.
He should have been on the 84 or should have been on the 1980 Olympic team because
yes.
He would have been on the 80 Olympic team had we not boycotted. CM Bowie, mm-hmm. Guys like that, Alton Lister.
Right.
I think Buck Williams was on the team. Mm-hmm. So that 1980 Olympic team would have been the youngest team in history of amateur basketball history
right.
for the United States. Isaiah Thomas was a freshman. Mm-hmm. He would have been on that team as well. So, I mean, they had the roster picked. I mean,
right.
It just was a matter of we boycotted the Olympics. So.
Yep.
All right. I think I got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, I got 11 things, okay?
Okay.
A tuxedo.
Okay.
I just always wanted to
You've rented them before. I mean, I've rented them.
Yeah, but I want to own one.
You want to own one?
I want a custom fit, own
I never
tuxedo.
Thought about that. I mean, I know it's good to have. It's something that never came across my mind. Like, do I actually want to own one?
I don't want a Rolex. I want an Omega.
Okay.
I want those. I want an
I like
Omega
those.
Watch.
Yeah.
I want a pontoon boat.
You know what? I had boat on mine, but I love pontoon boats.
I grew up on a lake, mm-hmm. and we had a pontoon boat. And I know that the old saying is, the best day of your life is when you buy a boat.
Right.
The second best day of your life is when you sell the boat.
Right.
But I would love to have a pontoon boat that I took up on Lake Allatoona
yeah.
and just had it and stashed and dashed
just,
it, you know, as I need it. But would love to have a pontoon boat. this is kind of crazy. You ever heard of those purple or Helix mattresses?
Yeah.
Like, I want one of those high-tech, form-fitting, custom mattresses. I want to see what it's like to sleep on one of those things. Because I've got, like, kind of crappy cheap mattresses and stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
I want a real form-fitting, body contouring type of mattress.
Okay.
I would love to see how much better it is to sleep on one of those things. I want a big green egg.
Okay.
And I want the extra large one too. Not
right.
a small one. I mean the extra large bad boy.
Gotcha.
If you're gonna go green egg,
right.
buy the extra large one. Two piece of memorabilia. I want a 52 Mickey Mantle.
Nice.
52 tops
yeah,
Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, I almost put that down.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Upper Deck mm-hmm. made this trading card series based around James Bond.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they had hand autographed cards. Okay. So these were hand signed autographed cards by mm-hmm. different actors that played James Bond characters.
Oh, nice.
Ready?
Okay. Uh-huh.
So, I have Daniel Craig,
okay.
I have Pierce Brosnan, I have Roger Moore before okay. he passed, I have George Lazenby.
Oh, wow.
Timothy Dalton did not sign for that, but there are cut autographed cards of Sean Connery's autograph.
Mm-hmm.
I want one of those cut autographed cards of Sean
nice.
Connery.
Nice.
Because
yeah.
I've got my James Bond collection. I've got all kinds of James Bond autographed
right.
cards. But my favorites are the Daniel Craig, the Pierce Brosnan, Lazenby, Roger Moore, like the actual
right.
James. I've got like Christopher Lee
mm-hmm.
when he played, Christopher Lee from Lord of the Sith
right.
and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this is when he played Scaramanga, the man with the golden gun.
Oh, wow.
So it's a card. It's a hand autographed card of Christopher Lee
right.
with his picture of the man with the golden gun, right?
Okay.
Jaws. You know, the character Jaws, Richard
yeah.
Kiel.
Yeah.
I've got that autograph as well. I've got Judi Dench's M. I've got Halle Berry's
wow.
autograph from Die Another Day.
Right.
I have Terry Hatcher's card from The World. No, not The World Is Not Enough. Tomorrow Never Dies. She was in Tomorrow Never Dies. I've got her autograph.
Okay.
Joe Don Baker, Maude Adams. I got a bunch of autograph.
Nice.
James Bond cards. But I want that white whale, that Sean Connery
right.
Autographed card. My Henry AR rifle, like that survival rifle.
Right.
It's a four-piece survival rifle. I want my rifle. A Tesla.
Okay.
I would love to drive a Tesla. I would love to own a Tesla.
Okay.
Everybody's got a Tesla.
They do.
Everybody
they
has
really
a Tesla
do.
Nowadays.
There's like a million in my neighborhood
yeah.
all of a
yeah.
sudden.
Yeah, like everybody's got a Tesla.
Yeah.
I was looking at used Teslas. Used. $66,000.
Yeesh.
$66,000 for a used Tesla. An 80-inch TV. Okay. I want.
You want the big boy?
Yeah, because again, my eyes don't focus very well. I want to be blind. Okay. And then finally, have you ever seen those showers that have the rain shower?
I don't think so.
So they either come out of the ceiling as like rain,
okay,
or they're wall mounted and they have the effect of rain. They're almost like a spa shower.
Mm, okay.
I want one of those showers.
Nice.
I want a walk-in shower with that rain effect.
Nice.
To it.
Nice.
So there you go. That's my list as well. When we come back, Mike Rothstein joined us earlier in the show. What he had to say about the Atlanta Falcons. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
In this offseason that I think spoken a lot about in this offseason that I think has to make that big jump is Arnold Ebiketie. And I'm liking the things that I'm hearing out of him. He's talking about the game slowing down and all these different things. How important do you think it is for Ebiketie to have that breakout season and, if nothing else, at least solidify one side of this pass rush for this team?
Well, listen, I mean, that's what they want, right? Like, you draft a guy in the second round, you invest in him, you hope that – and they've been very patient in the past. We talked about it, I think, the last time I was on with Richie Grant, and Richie Grant's a good example. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd like that to happen, but much like they've done at a lot of other positions, honestly, they've built fail-safes in case it doesn't. And by that, I mean you've got Bud Dupree, you've got Lorenzo Carter. Obviously, they hope D'Angelo Malone will take a step as well. You've got Caden Ellis there. So – if for some reason Ebiketie doesn't take that step, it's not like they're in deep waters, we'll call it that. I would use a different word if we weren't talking on terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that they're put in – I think they're put in an okay situation if it doesn't come, but they're obviously hoping it does. And you saw the flashes of the potential there last year, which is what you're banking on if you are the Falcons, because – he was able to get to the quarterback if he didn't, even though he didn't finish. And that's a good first step. And as he learns more and as he has more help around him, which the Falcons have done, then it's entirely possible. But if it doesn't come from him, I think they've put enough other players in position that they're hoping that it will come from somebody.
How active do you think that they're going to feature Caden Ellis? I mean, obviously that this is a guy that we're hearing a lot of things about potential breakout seasons, and I think he's on the NFL.com's, you know, all breakout team and this, that, and the other. How much do you think they feature him this year?
We'll see. I mean, he doesn't come here if it's not clear that Ryan Nielsen has a plan for him and is going to use him. Because he would have had a role in New Orleans still, I would imagine. And Ryan Nielsen knows him better than anybody, as does their general manager, Terry Fontenot. Because Terry Fontenot was part of the crew that drafted him before Terry Fontenot came here to be the GM. And Ryan Nielsen was the co-defensive coordinator last year when Caden Ellis had his breakout after, I believe, it was Pete Werner got hurt. So I think that there's a plan there. Now, what that looks like, I don't know. Because remember, and this isn't to throw a dampener on anything, there was so much excitement a year ago at this time when Lorenzo Carter signed after he had had a very similar end of season with the Giants, like Caden Ellis had end of season with the Saints. And we saw what Lorenzo Carter did last year. Lorenzo Carter was a fine player. He was asked to do way more than he probably ever anticipated as far as an edge setter, because Ebiketie and Malone, and even to an extent Ade Ogundeji, just weren't ready yet. So I think that limited and hurt maybe some of Lorenzo Carter's effectiveness as a pass rusher. But just because it worked one place doesn't mean it's necessarily going to work another. Now, to me, I think there's a lot of hope and focus that it will here because of the familiarity because of Ryan Nielsen and the defensive scheme. But to me, he is a player that they are once again hoping they see that from. We have seen the Falcons take these chances before. They were doing it on one-year deals. Now you're seeing it more, I think, on what look like more two-year deals. And Caden Ellis is a young player. The tools are there. The motor's there. It's just a matter of does it follow through. And I think, again, it's, you know, we talk about guys like Ebiketie. We talk about guys like Caden Ellis. And that's great. But the reality of all of it is if Calais Campbell and Grady Jarrett and Taquan Graham and whoever's lined up opposite one of these guys, even if or one or the other, if they're not getting the pressure they need, it's not going to matter because you need to have someone getting leverage somewhere. And that's the big key, and that's really what the Falcons have done is they've given themselves enough players and enough options that someone they hope is going to break out and get it somewhere, whether that is Armand Ebiketie, whether that is Caden Ellis, whether that's D'Angelo Malone, who a lot of people are not talking about right now. That I think all remains whether Bud Dupree stays healthy, because when he's healthy, we see what he can do. You know, all of that remains to be seen.
Mike Rothstein on the WaitForIt.com hotline covers the Atlanta Falcons for ESPN and ESPN.com. I've described, I mean, again, you may not think this is fair, but I've described Caden Ellis as the defensive Caleb McGarry. He's had one breakout season, but his first 3 years were, okay. I mean, they didn't see a whole lot of him, and he did play, you know, pretty good much. But I again, I'll have to see it to believe that this is going to be the big breakout year that everybody expects from him.
Chucker, there's no doubt, my man. Like, that's part of it, right? Like, you have to see it. I don't know if the comparison to Caleb McGarry is fair. Like, because he's entering a new scheme, he's entering a new situation entirely. He's obviously a defensive coordinator he's comfortable with, but let's be honest, right? If you're going to make the comparison to Caleb McGarry, let's call it what it is. Caleb McGarry was essentially a three-year starter for Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. Like, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he obviously dealt with some injuries here and there early on. Last year was the first year he was a full-time. He was fully healthy, I would say. But he was starting games before that. Caden Ellis has 12 career starts, 11 of them coming last year. Not only that, he played 5 defensive snaps in 2020. That got up to 191 snaps, which is about 23% defensively in 2021. So we're talking about a guy who was very clearly a rotational guy before last year, where he played about half. And again, a lot of that came once there were injuries on the Saints team. So I don't think the comparison to Caleb McGarry is fair, because we saw more from Caleb McGarry, injuries being dealt with or not, than we saw from than we've seen from Caden Ellis. I just don't think that that's a fair type of label, especially considering what people were talking about Caleb McGarry as a year ago at this time, as a massive question mark and a, like, well, I don't think this is going to work out. Like, I just don't think that's fair to do that to a guy who started 12 games and in a new system, and all of those 12 games, 11 of them come in one season.
No, I mean,
I'm sorry. I'm just not buying him, man.
Well, I'll say it like this. There's a reason why guys 3 years into the league are rotational guys. Usually it takes injuries to finally get your chance. I mean, if Caden Ellis was going to be this breakout player, why have we only seen it in his fourth year? I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I mean, again, there's reasons why guys spend the first 3 years of their career in just rotational roles. Again, Adi Ogundeji is a guy who probably has played way more than he ever should have. He's probably at best a rotational guy, but he's had a chance to start probably at the detriment to, you know, maybe the Falcons' defense at times.
Yeah, well, I mean, they also remember the last 2 years they've been putting that defense together with, you know, duct tape and glue and,
oh yeah,
you know, some wire, and, you know, and that was just the that's just what so much of it was. I mean, they drafted Adi Ogundeji, and he ended up having himself a role and had himself a good rookie year, because he was, in part, that was all they had. Remember who some of those edge rushers were then, that as a rookie, right? It was Dante Fowler. It was Brandon Copeland, who basically was playing hurt that whole year. Steven Means and Adi Ogundeji. And I think they had a couple other guys too that I'm just, I mean, John Kaminsky kind of, but like, you know, they had Tuoti Marinu, who they were trying to turn into an edge rusher until mm-hmm. they cut. I mean, you have to remember who some of those guys were. So, of course, with what they were then, like what they were, like they wanted to play Ogundeji to get him the reps. I mean, look at last year's probably a better indication when they had a little bit more there and they had other young guys, and you saw Ogundeji be much more of a rotational guy. I feel bad in some ways for Adi Ogundeji in terms of how people might view him, because it's very similar to Jalen Mayfield in that I know Ogundeji has had more success than Jalen Mayfield, but they were thrown into situations that realistically they probably were a year early for, and that can be really hard on a player. It's great to get the experience, but if the success doesn't come, like that can mess with you a little bit. So it was a tough ask for Adi Ogundeji, and this is a big year for him. I'm very curious to see how this shakes out for him, because all of a sudden he's in a situation where there's a lot of guys competing for roster spots versus, hey, he's probably going to be on the roster. It's just a matter of in the rotation. Brian, you can say the same thing, by the way, about Jalen Mayfield.
Well, and I'll ask you about Jalen Mayfield. Like, where does he fit? I mean, we've heard, by and large, we've heard next to nothing about Jalen Mayfield, who started every game a couple of years ago. Obviously, he was dealing with all the injuries last year. But we've heard nothing about, is he a tackle? Is he going to be a guard? Where's his role going to be? I mean, is he kind of this forgotten man in this offensive line scheme with Bergeron and some of these other guys? He's just kind of gotten lost in the shuffle?
I don't know if I'll call it lost in the shuffle. And by the way, he started every – remember, he wasn't supposed to start.
Right.
Like, people forget that. He was not supposed to start as a rookie. That was Josh Andrews' job. Then Josh Andrews, after cuts, like the day after cuts, or it was maybe that afternoon, he broke his hand or foot. I forget which one it was. It's been a couple of years. And all of a sudden, Jalen Mayfield, who spent most of training camp at tackle filling in for Caleb McGarry, a place he's much more comfortable, had to go into guard. That's a tough chance to succeed. It really is. And it got better. I mean, but it was a tough chance to succeed for him. So then last year, he was dealing with injuries, and they had a guy in Matt Hennessy that they trusted, and they had a guy in Elijah Wilkinson who they signed and won the job and was pretty darn good until he dealt with injuries. Remember, they played five different guys? Like, yeah, this is a big year for Jalen Mayfield. In my eyes, he's playing from behind. But he also might be playing his most natural position now if they end up moving him out to tackle. Remember, when he came back for those, like when he was kind of returned to play protocol or the kind of return to play for off of the injury, but not activated when they had those few weeks before, you know, they decided to shut him down for the year. He was working out in practice as a tackle as much as a guard. So to me, it's, I would anticipate we'll probably see him maybe more as a tackle than as a guard. And we'll see how that goes because they drafted a guy in Bergeron who's going to be a guard and maybe they're starting left guard. We'll see how that shakes out. We'll get probably a better handle of that maybe starting next week or maybe even starting Wednesday, depending who shows up at OTAs and who doesn't. Wednesday being tomorrow. So I don't know if we know that answer yet. I would not count Jalen Mayfield out because the talent is there, but much like Adeyoga and Deji, I don't think it's an obvious he is absolutely on the roster situation because if Arthur Smith has shown you one thing, there's no entitlement there. Like he will take the best guys. He has said over and over, you've heard it. You've heard him say it. You've heard Terry Fontenot say it. They want it to be hard to make this team because that means that they brought in good guys in terms of talent and that they've got a real shot. So they want it to be hard for a guy like an Adeyoga and Deji, a guy like a Jalen Mayfield to make this team, like a guy like a Frank Darby, like to make this team. Like they want it to be difficult for guys that they have drafted a couple years ago to make this team if they haven't shown, you know, a whole bunch on the field yet. So I'm not surprised that those three guys would be in that situation. And I third thing, Frank Darby, in because a lot of people, you know, don't talk about him at all, but that receiver room is wide open other than – probably Matt Collins and obviously that Drake London guy.
Mike Rothstein covers the Atlanta Falcons for ESPN. ESPN.com is where you can check out all of his work. He's on Twitter, too, at Mike Rothstein, and join me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Mike, as always, buddy, appreciate
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.